You're watching No Go Zone with Henrik.
All right. Everything rolling here. We're a little bit late here, so I do apologize if you're tuning in live. But that's how it goes sometimes. Anyway, if you're joining us in the archives, doesn't matter to you. You can tune in whenever you want over on Odyssey or Rumble or, of course, redass.tv or redassmembers.com. You can watch it on our Telegram. We go up to a number of different places as well. Of course, BitChute being one of them, VK. And you can watch most of our stuff on X or Twitter as well. Anyway, thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk a little bit about this Anti-Semitism Awareness Act here today. And I think I'll have maybe a couple of kind of different angles to this than what I've heard most people talk about, and the critiques that you can levy against some of this crazy stuff that they're trying to push through in the U.S. right now. It passed the House, right? So they're going to, I think it was uncertain whether or not the Congress is going to pick it up, but it probably will. And then it would have to be signed into law by Potato-in-Chief Joe Biden. So we'll see what happens here. But of course, it's, you know, if they don't succeed with this one, it will be another one, and then another one, and then another one. So, you know, it's about what they're trying to push through here. It's interesting times for sure. All right, guys. So we're going to dive into that here shortly. We have a couple of other things in the beginning, but quickly, just want to mention as well. Check out the latest couple of stuff we got up on, both the members' website, but it went up to some of the main channels as well. Lana did one about the that little city there, St. George in Louisiana, that split off. It was a Supreme Court decision, and they legally were allowed to form their own city and break off from crime-ridden Baton Rouge. That's kind of interesting. Now, the question, of course, is how do you prevent the same thing from just happening again, kind of thing, which is, I guess, the next level. But so I guess symbolically, as a morale booster, it's pretty good stuff. So to check that out, that's the latest. And, of course, we got a new Western Warrior up as well, so check that out. Some good stories in there, important show. Very good stuff. Join us over there, redassmembers.com. It's only $10 a month. Well worth it. And, of course, it helps us to continuing doing great stuff for you guys as well. As we fight back and begin to organize opposition and resistance to our replacement and to the attacks on our people and to our civilization. That's kind of how it goes. And we kind of, what are we here? We're your Kali Yuga co-pilots, maybe, or some shit like that, as we monitor. Well, but it's both a decline, but it's also kind of an ascent at the same time, which is interesting. You're witnessing our folk rising up at the same time as things around us kind of collapse and fall apart. But that's how it goes. Okay, so anyway, by the way, if you do want to join for Super Chat today, don't do Rumble. That's our tip here. Don't do Rumble. Why is that? Well, they're up to some shitty shenanigans over there. I think they paid us $200 last time. We got a payment from them, and sometimes we make that in one stream. So I don't know what they're doing over there, but something is not right. And no, it's not only because of the high fees if you use the app and that kind of stuff. There's something else going on. And by the way, they haven't even paid us for March or April, I think, yet. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. So please avoid it. You know, use Odyssey or EntropyStream. EntropyStream.live/RedIceTV. That seems to be working just fine. And same with Odyssey. Odyssey is good as well. I'm not sure if they have the same thing, by the way. A tip. You know, it's convenience, I get that, but I think if you use the apps, whether it's Rumble or Odyssey, if you use it on an iPhone or an Apple device and it's through the app, then like Apple gets 30% of that like immediately. So all you would have to do is to just open the web browser on your device and then log in and then do it that way. But, you know, anyway, it is what it is. Everyone's trying to get at you, you know, kind of thing. But anyway, so keep that in mind. If you do like our show and want to sponsor us, we can continue. Cut out the Apple trash over there and use it in the browser instead. Anyway, Odyssey, EntropyStream. I think do we have the Power Chat? I know some people like different options and stuff like that. But anyway, Power Chat. We'll check that out. There's a couple of other services out there right now. I did see, who was it over there on Odyssey? It was maybe next time. Jukebox coins. There you go. Jukebox. That was a long time ago. Jukebox. You guys remember that? Holy smokes. Remember, I just saw a scene from like someone walking into a VHS store. Just a, you know, it's, yes, it's propaganda, like movies, most movies anyway are, you know, trash or whatever. There's exceptions, of course, right? But most shit is just propaganda. But just the feel, just the feeling of that walking, actually physically you had to take yourself to the video rental store, and you know, to look at the covers, you turn it around, you try to decide, you go home, you take it, and you plop this plastic thing in with its magnetic. It's just, you can't recreate that. These days, all streaming, and it's all like just like instantly, however much you like, people are binge watching just like 15 seasons of some show. I don't think it's good. I think it's, if you have to have some of that entertainment, and of course, you know, some people are more glued to it than others, but it's like that was a special vibe, you know, running with that, the jukebox. All right. I always chose a Van Damme movies. Yeah, some great ones there. Happy Merchant Sensei. Thumbs up on from Rumble with $1. That means if we're lucky, we might get 5 cents from that Happy Merchant. So thank you, man. Appreciate that. All right. If we get it at all, actually, because when you tally it up afterwards, we've been doing that after the streams, you tally up the number of, like, you know, chats you got on Rumble, and then you look on the back end, the admin, you know, settings or whatever they call it, the payouts, earnings, that's what they call it on Rumble, earnings. And so you got, like, yeah, I don't know, 10 super chats or something like that, and they list like 6. So, okay, I guess we gotta sue him then, is that what's going on? All right, anyway, we'll see if we get any payouts at all from them anymore. All right. Let's get started here before we go too far down that rabbit hole. So we can actually begin a clip here that underlines the latest. No, that's not it at all. Is it this one? Ay. Here we go. There it is. Get my windows all mixed up here. Here we go. This underlines just to the point that Lana made in her video on this about the Saint George, and I don't think it's for George Fentanyl Floyd that they named it after. I hope not, anyway. But anyway, the breakaway city there from Baton Rouge, or previously Baton Rouge. Eugene Collins, he's the former president of the NAACP of Baton Rouge. And he opposes St. George separating from the city because the loss of tax revenue will hurt, quote, people that look like me. Let's listen.
Not to mention, when you look at how they plan on supporting themselves, it's pulling a lot of the resources and the tax bases from Baton Rouge, stuff that has been used to keep our city stable, right? So
I think Sharon Weston Broom, the mayor there, said the city of Baton Rouge could lose at least $46 million annually as a result of this.
At least, and probably more, right? So when you take all that into account, this is going
to... goddamn racist. They want to have their money for themselves.
...to hurt the underserved. This is going to be paid for on the backs of poor black folks, right? Mm. Because when you think about Baton Rouge, people always assume that folks that look like me that live in certain communities don't pay taxes. And that's very far from the truth. We are property owners where everything else and our tax dollars go towards making this city a stable place to live. And when you do something like this...
Stable place to live? Bro, you are literally just rated a 1 out of 100, and 100 being the safest. Baton Rouge was rated a 1 in terms of security out of 100, and 100 is the safest. I think you got a problem there. I don't see what the problem with white people who don't like that wanting to break away. Now, of course, there's not that there's like a law here of like, you can't become a... What would it be? Are you a resident of a city? And what's the term? I'm forgetting the correct legal term for what you would be. I guess a resident. Or you can't come live here. There's nothing like that. There's no, like, obviously segregation laws here. It's just like this, like, all right, we can't deal. We're just going to pull out and, like, do our own thing, basically, right? So there's a kind of a loophole and a way around some of those things, right? If you just kind of piss away a bunch of millions and nothing happens and you just get more and more unsafe, yeah, I can understand that people are kind of sick and tired of that. And most of those people then seem to be, it's obviously not going to be 100% white people in that area. I don't know exactly what the demographics is, but there's probably plenty of non-white people that were supportive of that too. I wouldn't be surprised. But anyway, you see proximity to white people. It's like a, you know, we talk about GDP, like we're farm animals, like we're just being milked for GDP, right? And then they bring in migrants to do the same, which of course it actually doesn't. It's a drain on the system. But that's the excuse anyway, right? Just you know, if you've got good GDP, everybody's going to be happy. Which doesn't seem to be the case at all. quite the opposite. But anyway, proximity to white people and just kind of getting, because it's reparations, right? Isn't that what it is? It's basically like you need to pay back, right? And so when is there enough? Is it just going to keep going? Was it California and other going to issue some official apology, I think, for slavery or some shit like that? Like there's countries in Africa doing that shit right now. And you're moping about shit that happened 200 years ago, and none that is alive today was currently suffering under any of those kinds of circumstances. You could argue, does anybody like being run through some kind of proxy slavery system? It'd be white people in situations like this, just being milked for their tax money, and then they try to break away, and oh, that's racism. You stay, it's racism. You gentrify, it's racism. You leave, it's racism. You can't win. All right. Anyway, I think that's enough of this. So anyway, check out the latest there. On the drama in Baton Rouge over this here. A lot of people mad over that one. Check out this one, too. Speaking of slavery and stuff, I saw Rebecca link this up here. Violent scenes as Chinese companies, who has consequently invested in various African countries, are showing, I guess, how they are. We've heard that it was a kind of a soft colonialism when it comes to the Chinese. It's not so bad. Westerners are bad, right? Isn't this what the BRICS countries talk about? They talk about how the West is racist and they stole all the resources. They're basically picking up all the Frankfurt School, Marxist, commie, Bolshevik talking points, right? That Western countries and primarily, of course, Jewish activists in Western countries have been pushing for such a long time. That's what Russia and China are picking up on now. But anyway, back to reality then. As China, then, oh, well, we're going to build your, your bridge for you. We're going to build some school here in this random African country. But, of course, on one condition, we got to take these resources here so we can build our, shitty quality plastic toys or whatever it is and ship them over to Europe and America. But it turns out it's not that great. You know, while people complain on, like, Leopold, King Leopold of Belgium, for example, of being this, this is what destroyed Africa, essentially. That's, it's like, if white people are raped in Western countries, and I've literally seen, people on Twitter have these arguments, like, there's disproportionate rapist by migrants in Western, or people in Western countries being raped by migrants, then they take out the King Leopold. Well, what about Leopold in Belgium, in Congo, right? Which is, by the way, all that's bullshit, but even leaving that to the side, again, that's like 200 years ago, something no one alive today has suffered under this, right? But this is what the Chinese are doing currently in some of these African countries. Check this out. Yeah, as Rebecca said, bet those Europeans aren't looking so bad right now. Yeah, it wasn't they were so happy throwing off the yoke of these European colonists, right? They built their, railway stations and the government buildings and all that stuff. Or railway station. They built a whole damn track, through some of these countries. All right. Anyway, that's the friendly Chinese. Where that's the BRICS, countries, based. No, frankly, I don't want to see this. I genuinely want these countries to succeed, because if they do, there's less reason for them excuse me, is less reason for them to try to flee and come to our countries, right? If they're doing well, shit's good. It's not a guarantee, of course, but it's less likely that they want to try to invade into our countries. So, you know, they do well. They don't have to do well on the off the backs of us. So I'm not saying we need to give them another 60 Marshall plans or whatever the hell it was that we've given them over the years. We can just, you know, if you want to, okay, sure, here's how you, you know, here's some technology tips or something like that. That's fine. You know, kind of thing. You can help out from afar. Like, look, you can do like this. You know, you can help out. Kind of as an incentive for them. Like, well, if you do well, you don't have to come to our countries. Deal? You know, like you can do something like that. It's fairly simple, right? But no, of course, as we know, the plan is to just import mass amounts of not only sub-Saharan Africans, but Asians and Indians and Arabs and North Africans, and bring Latin Americans to Europe as well. And then you bring Africans to America and Asians and all kinds of stuff. Arabs as well. That's what it's about. Okay, here's one more before we get to the anti-Semitism Awareness Act. And that has to do with why we can't live with these people. Because when they come into our countries, they actively start working against us. And so, see if we can set this up in the right way. They are upset when their racial interests are not met. And usually that happens then when white people, whatever of whatever ethnicity, European people, take their own side. Right, so we do something which is like our racial interest that makes them angry at us, because then their racial interest is kind of compromised, or maybe it's not in as good of a position anymore. See what I mean? So, but them taking their own side and standing up for their ethnic interest is not something we can be angry about. So we need to maybe, I don't know, pass laws. Maybe we can call them, I don't know, let's call them terrorists. Can we do that? So as we're being flooded and replaced, run over, and then in the process of that, you have your children raped, your elderly robbed, your teenagers subjected to humiliation crimes, etc. If you start fighting back and say, you know what? I kind of don't like this. I think this is a bad idea. I think we should stop this right about now. Then outcomes, you know, or at least the proposals. It's not in place in every country yet, but it's beginning now when they go after, you know, so-called right-wing groups, or, you know, a political party that's anti-immigration is dubbed fascist or something. And of course, that's down to, again, TM, save democracy, you know, kind of thing. Right, we know what that's about. But then, you know, so those the wheels are kind of in motion to try to start terrorist label those who oppose the liberal, anti-white, democratic kind of order. And here's a case in point. Here's a woman in Ireland who showed up from Kenya. She's actually the mayor of Londonderry. She might be, is she the former by now? Or maybe she's the current. No, I think she's the current, actually. Londonderry in Ireland. Her name is Lillian Senoy Barr Callis. Is that what it is? Yeah. Listen to this one.
To explain it, because I don't want to misquote you, but reference those protesting against immigration as terrorists. Do you stand by that?
I didn't reference them as terrorists. I think my words were taken out of context. I said those who are mobilizing and lying to the community and really preying from vulnerabilities of people, dividing communities, are the ones who are domestic terrorists. If you go to any country, they're labeled terrorists. Why can't they not be labeled terrorists in Ireland? You know, if you go to any country where people are being divided because of politics, the ones who are causing all this trouble are called terrorists. So do we have two different types of...
But it's immigration that's dividing our people. That's what's actually being that's the divide and conquer plan by the elites. Partially, it's more than that, but that's one aspect of it, right? You divide them and you have them bicker among each other, as opposed to looking up at the power center of who did this to us, right? Most of these people are just a roadblock, but they are the divisive ones, by the way. Yeah, can we just Here I come with my racial interests. Look at me. And then, like, can we just kind of ban people that don't want to have more people like me in the country? Yeah, that's about right. That's not divisive whatsoever.
Terrorists, when it comes to people who are not from the Western country, no, I said it.
The Western country,
because it is a fact. And if you define terrorism, how is it defined in policy?
How it's defined? I believe it's like when you intimidate with violence. Is that what it is? Is that what they're doing? Because they're fighting back with the violence. I've seen is the Irish people who are saying no to immigration being beaten up by the cops, and the system is turning against them. Now, can we look at the disproportionate crime and rape and bombings and assaults and violent attacks by migrants upon our people? Is that not then terrorism? No, see, our words and us saying no is more of an act of violence in these people's eyes than them physically attacking and raping our people. Great.
Find it in policy, and then you'll be able to see that it was a factual statement that I made. And
factual statement.
I would not apologize to
that's right.
by saying that.
She's doubling down. And they just, okay, great. Wouldn't it be better if these people had just kind of, I don't know, just had their own country or something like that? Like then they can run the whole country themselves. They can do whatever policies they wanted. They would never, ever have to be pestered by any white, pasty racists ever again. I know it's a novel idea and it's kind of out there and it's a bit crazy, I know, but hear me out. If people have their own territories, and I don't know, we could call them something like, I don't know, count, let's call them counties. And then when they grow larger, they become countries. I don't know, something like that. Then you could not complain on racism. You would solve racism. How about that? All right. Anyway. What do we got here? Just Grifting and Gaming says, it is not even bittersweet that everything I've told my friends and family is coming to pass. Yeah, it's not, don't get a pleasure in being right about these things, right? It's bitter to be vindicated by the actions of Jews and Zio-cucks. Weimar plus Zimbabwe simulator on hyperspeed. Tragedy starts slowly, then all at once. I think difference with Zimbabwe, though, in a way is, I mean, Rhodesia, I guess. I mean, they were fighting back and stuff like that, but they were already kind of demographically outnumbered, right? By that time, at least, when they're fighting back, it was like kind of like over. They also had the rest of the world against them. One thing I think we have to our advantage is that all of these, not all of them at the same time, but many of the same things is kind of happening throughout the West, right? You have a decline, open borders policy in most European countries and European colonies, right, of Western countries. And with that, you have a higher chance that many of them, if not all of them at once, hopefully, stand up and rise this up. In other words, it won't be this like kind of weird like happened in the Balkans or something, like you have one country trying to like stand up against when there are people being attacked, or even when you go back to Germany or so, you know, something like that. Now it's like it's happening in every Western country. No, the other possible or possibility here would be that something like China, India, and Russia in their kind of a BRICS alliance or something forms a new superpower, and Western countries are so much in decline that by the time we try to fight back, these guys come in as the new America, essentially. Like, oh, you can't do that. We're going to mandatory race mixing on order by the BRICS allies, Axis faction, whatever you want to call them. It'd be something like that, but I don't know. Probably not yet. It's too early for that kind of shit. They have their own. There's so many problems in India and China. They're demographically, economically, Russia, same thing. I think it's more posturing with the BRICS thing. It's not that they're not trying, of course, but a little bit too early, probably. A little bit too early. Okay. So what do we got here? We got exposedflyer.com over on Rumble. Says, I will always remind the Fox News watching conservatives that the same scum cracking down on the pro-Palestine protesters outright refused to stop the BLM savage rioters and illegal alien invasion. That's right. We have a little bit of that. We're going to tie that together here today. But yeah, exactly. Yeah, even Biden was like, oh, my violence and stuff. It's like, what? Now you're rolling around? No, it's you know, now Israel is in trouble. And then just all of the whole police force, the military would be out here to stop it. But I think there's a different, could be a different angle here. We'll get into that. But anyway, so to start at the beginning here, I guess, of sorts, we have a couple of videos we can play here then. Now, this is just a UCLA, right? The different universities, many of them are doing it. The Emory, there's, I'm not sure, was there a lot of them? Harvard, I'm not sure, but Columbia, obviously, New York, right? You had the other one in New York, whatever that one is called. This is UC, is that, which is UCLA? Is that, that's not that one, right? That's still in California, right? Is it? University of California, is that what it stands for? Let me just double check. I forget some of these names sometimes. UCLA, what does it stand for? University of California. There you go, Los Angeles. Easy enough. All right, so that's where that some of these protests have been taking place as well. And it says here, UCLA students and staff among more than 200 people arrested as police dismantle pro-Palestinian camp. I mean, encampments here, right? So we have a clips here we can play of this. And we'll look at, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Let's start with this here. Here we go. A little summary here.
The time right now is 5:07, and we continue our coverage on a federal bill that could change the definition of anti-Semitism.
Well, overnight, the U.S. House passed a bill, 322-91, and a group of representatives say they want to protect their Jewish constituents. And the bill would essentially make it easier for the Department of Education to enforce anti-discrimination laws at public institutions.
So this bill.
Now, that's the big, it's a big question. At public, first you think, oh, it's just, then it's just kind of in the education environment. Not necessarily. We'll see how they expand this or balloon this in some kind of capacity. But that's the big question. Like, how will they actually be enforcing this, and in what institutions, I guess, will actually this, take off. But anyway, back to the clip.
It would require the Department of Education to use the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition of anti-Semitism.
Well, the alliance has a short version of the definition, but also created a list of examples that's included in the new bill.
Part of the full expanded definition reads, denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination, claiming that the existence of a state of Israel is...
There we go, with self-determination. Interesting. Okay, yeah, who has been denying whose self-determination over the last few decades here, huh?
It's a racist endeavor. Many of the Republicans and Democrats said adding this type of regulation infringes on free speech, including Republican Congressman from Austin, Chip Roy.
Criminal behavior is criminal behavior. Violating people's civil rights is violating people's civil rights. But when we want to insert the government into what you're thinking and what motivates you, you are empowering that which should never be empowered. The ability of the government to police thought.
Austin area Democratic Congressman Lloyd Doggett and Greg Kassar also voted against the bill. The bill now heads to the Senate, where its fate is uncertain.
Okay, so it will head to the Senate. That's clear. I've read one article. It's uncertain if the Senate will pick it. Maybe they mean pass it then. Maybe that's what they mean. So there are. We'll get to who actually. It's so bad. That's like very surprising lineup, or at least a one of them in particular, that I'm like, wow, really? That's how bad it is. But anyway, did this one have? Yeah, there's a little bit of kind of photos of the scuffles here that have taken place. We have a couple of things to show here. Yeah, here's the Muslim prayer. We'll get to that later too, by the way, because this is it's funny how this is, because you do have a kind of like a religious aspect in all of this too, or people are bringing that up, right? But it has been crackdown by the police on orders of the government in a kind of a way that we haven't really seen in some time, I'd say, to be honest, which is always fascinating. So here's the actual act here, or bill, H.R. 6090, or 6090, Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, by Michael Lawler. We'll look at him in a moment here. Short title. This act may be cited as the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. It is the sense of Congress that, and they go through here, some discrimination, the Civil Rights Act, I go into that, right? Prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, and or and national origin. Okay, well, now do white people then. What has happened? So they can say these things, but nothing has happened. Well, here's a law, civil rights law. But, you know, fuck whitey. It says here, as noted in the U.S. National Strategy to Counter Anti-Semitism issued by the White House in 2023, May, it is critical to A, increase awareness and understanding of anti-Semitism, including its threat to America. Okay, all right. Improve safety and security for Jewish communities. C, reverse the normalization of anti-Semitism and counter anti-Semitic discrimination. How are you going to reverse that, by the way? And D, expand communication and collaboration between communities. We're going to share it. Findings. Congress finds the following. One, anti-Semitism is on the rise in the United States and is impacting Jewish students in K through 12 schools, colleges, and universities. Two, the International Holocaust Remembers Alliance, referred to in this act as the IHRA, working definition of anti-Semitism, is a vital tool which helps individuals understand and identify the various manifestations of anti-Semitism. We'll go through those points once again here a little bit later so you can wrap your head around this. What else do they have here? Individuals subjected to anti-Semitism on college and university campuses are tasked federal agencies to consider IHRA working definition of anti-Semitism when enforcing Title VI of such act. They reference a executive order here that was signed, blah, blah, blah. Since 2018, the Department of Education has used the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism when investigating violations of that title. The use of alternative definitions of anti-Semitism impairs enforcement efforts by adding multiple standards and may fail to identify many of the modern manifestations of anti-Semitism. The White House released the first ever United States National Strategy to Counter Anti-Semitism in May 25th, 2023, making clear that the fight against this hate is a national bipartisan priority that must be successfully conducted through a whole of government and society approach. Definitions, okay. They, again, reference the IHRA quite a few times. That seems to be like the main thing that they want to get through here, basically. Rules of construction. We have to don't go through any of this, right? But anyway, so there's the kind of a some part of the summary here, basically, for this thing. Here we got another piece from Time showing some of the photos of stuff. Why are police in riot gear inside Columbia and City College's darkest night? Now, they broke some of this stuff up here, and a lot of cops were out, and they were hauling these people off and breaking up their camps, and they were arresting people, and it's included faculty members and some professors and stuff like that. And I think they had a little video here. Kind of hilarious watching this, to be honest. Let's check this out here, a little summary. Again, we can talk over this here. Columbia University. This is where the Frankfurt School that was outlawed or banned by the National Socialists in Germany were, not sent, but they went there to set up a shop, right? Herbert Marcuse and Theodor Adorno, like all these, famous cultural Marxists, which, of course, then have laid the groundwork for where America find itself today with problems like this that you see on screen. It's kind of fascinating. So now you could argue that Jews are kind of feeling some of the hate that white people have been subjected to for so many decades now. Like a huge, huge force out and about.
NYPD, KKK, IOS, yes. They're all the same.
Here's the pivot, folks. It's white supremacy. That's what it is. Why? Because it's a brown horde fighting back against colonialism. All right. Anyway, so that's some of the footage of how it looked here as they started to round people up over these protests. Now, I'm not sure how violent they were. Were they violent? I don't recall that there were violent. There were talks of this, so that they had, like, you know, as they shit on Israel or whatever, that they were like screaming at some Jews or something. But I could be wrong, but I don't think there was like a lot of violence in the beginning. It was more just like this kind of, it was deemed like an illegal encampment, and it was like bringing negative attention to these kinds of things. So they just decided to put the kibosh on all this stuff. Like, you know what? We can't have this. And again, like, decades of like anti-white, we've shown the screenshots, but again, you know, quick reference for any newcomers, right? You have had university professors like Noel Ignatieff. He was at Harvard. He famously wrote that piece for Harvard Magazine back in 2002 that was called Abolish the White Race. He has gone on interviews, and we've played those clips in the past too, where he calls for the eradication of whiteness and white people, right? Without whiteness, there's no... We gotta use this diversity in such a way that whiteness stops from reproducing itself. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he's saying in that famous, you know, clip. You've had others, you know, in Texas, there's university papers where they've run articles about how white DNA is an abomination. I think it was Yale Medical School. They've invited speakers to talk, you know, in front of classes and things like that have in the past referenced or voiced on their, I think it was podcast or a presentation in other settings they did, how she, in this case, the doctor, wanted to kill white people. Like, there's things like that. This has been running for decades, right? This stuff, like, just open hatred against white people. And then, of course, it's not until actually Jews, or Israel even, in this case, end up in a little bit of criticism, in the anvil a little bit, a little bit of pressure over it. And then, of course, every force that exists out there, like, springs into action. The legal system, the police, you know, everything. It's like, says something mean about Israel, and then it's like, you know, Commando Bros comes out, and it's just like, let's take care of business. You could have BLM protests, you can have anti-white rhetoric forever, and nothing happens, essentially. Which shows you what the priorities are, which shows you in whose pockets all these politicians are, because those are, at the end of the day, those who make the decisions, right? Here's Congressman Mike Lawler. I'm proud that my bill, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, just passed the House of Representatives. Let's listen.
Hey, everyone. It's Congressman Mike Lawler. I just want to say how proud I am that my bill, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, just passed the House of Representatives, 320 votes to 91. This bill has broad bipartisan support and will begin the process of cracking down on the anti-Semitism that we've seen run rampant on college campuses all across America. This is a big day and a big win. Now we got to get it through the Senate and signed into law. I look forward to working to get this across the finish line. Hey, everyone.
They might actually get that achieved. We'll see what happens here. ExposedFlyers.com on Rumble. Again, I'll remind you, in case you're tuning in late, if you guys can avoid Rumble, because we're not getting payouts from that, but we'll just keep hammering it. I'm not going to say don't send or whatever, but it's just something fishy with them. I'll see if there's a way we maybe just turn it off or like not accept Super Chats. They're screwing us over. We haven't even been paid for March and April yet. And when they sent it, the last one was like $200, which, like, we made that in one stream in February. Anyway, it is what it is. We thank you for Super Chats anyway. I do appreciate it. But if you can, do consider using Odyssey or Entropy in the meantime, if you can. ExposedFlyers.com says, watch them also scream anti-Semitism when we point out that the Palestinians are a Semitic people. Yeah, but it says Shem. Is that what it comes from? Shem or something. But yeah, exactly. I mean, this is a Semitic squabble. That's what it is. It's not, well, it has something to do with America in the sense of how deeply infested America is with Zionist Israeli interest, right? So yes, I understand that there's like a power grip that Israel, the Israeli lobby, Zionist groups, you know, AIPAC, the Jewish lobby has on America. So I understand that there's like, you know, I understand that there's a reason for the protest, right? It's like, oh, you get us, you know, this has to break, the stranglehold has to break. I'm not sure even they voice it in that to that extent. I believe the university or campuses protest begun because they wanted the universities to stop like doing business with or having anything to do with companies and other institutions that are linked to Israel. I think I got that right. That's at least some of the stuff I heard in the beginning, right? So it's not even like, I mean, I'm sure people are aware of it at the protest, but I'm saying it's not like, you know, end AIPAC stranglehold on America. Like, that hasn't been like the on the top of the list or whatever, if they even have a list. It should be. And if it is, great, but I haven't seen that list. But yeah, there's a lot of layers actually to this of why maybe they're doing this. Uncle Kenny says, I saw a vid this morning where Jews were beating protesters. I will try to send it to Twitter. Yeah, we have that. Yes, exactly. They are actually beating the pro-Palestinian protesters. We have that lined up already. So thank you for the reminder, because if I didn't, I would want to see that. So here's Mike Lawler. He is not Jewish. He is listed as a Roman Catholic. Can Catholics come get their boy? Can you come get your boy, Mike Lawler? What's going on, Mike? What's going on, Mikey? Here's another clip. Let's check this out, because he's being interviewed in this one here.
Have the support of many Jewish college students, but many others say that they feel intimidated and unsafe.
Within the hour, the House voted overwhelmingly to pass a measure targeting anti-Semitism on campus. CBS2's Tony Aiello spoke with two local sponsors of the bipartisan bill.
We need to be able to define anti-Semitism.
The bill, sponsored by Republican Mike Lawler and Democrat Josh Gottheimer, does just that. Their Anti-Semitism Awareness Act directs the U.S. Department of Education to use the definition developed by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance when enforcing federal anti-discrimination laws. Quote, anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred toward Jews. It goes on to define examples.
Can we replace with whites? Europhobia, or anti-whiteness, is a certain perception of whites which may be expressed as hatred towards whites.
May be expressed as hatred toward Jews.
Whites.
It goes on to define examples of anti-Semitism. Some of the heated rhetoric on college campuses would be included.
When you hear from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, the reality is that is calling for the eradication of Jews and the state of Israel.
So then you link Israel with the Jewish people, right? Interesting, because wasn't that the thing? Wasn't that actually anti? It's the, I believe we'll go through them later, but I believe that's actually a definition in the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. It's to sue, like to collectivize Jews, or to say that, you know, the state of Israel represents Jews, kind of thing. So he's like, he just did an anti-Semitism, as he explains why his anti-Semitism bill has to pass. Fascinating how that works.
All of our colleges have a response.
I mean, I think it's true. Don't get me wrong. I think it's true in the sense that, yeah, they all, as Jonathan Greenblatt famously said, all Jews are Zionist. Even liberal ones are said. They all think of this. So Josh Gottheimer, he's a Jew. So there's one of these two guys. It's a Roman Catholic, and then there's a Jewish guy who is behind this bill.
Responsibility to protect against hate and discrimination. And again, there's a difference between speech, which should be protected, and harassment and violence and intimidation, like a death threat.
Colleges that fail to protect Jewish students could face...
Yeah, but as Chip Roy said, and good for him for speaking up on that on the clip we played earlier, there's already laws against that, right? Isn't it... violent threats. I think harassment is, it's illegal, right? Isn't harassment illegal? Now, of course, you can say, what's the definition of that? And someone who's emotionally experiencing something that someone, you know, might or might not be doing, or the intention of, like, all that's like kind of fuzzy in a gray zone, right? But technically, these things are already illegal, and it brings up. So why do you need another law, another bill? This is so retarded, right? It's special treatment. That's what it's about. It's to signal hard that, like, we'll do what these guys, whatever they need, so that they feel safe in America.
Civil rights enforcement. Critics, including Congressman Jerry Nadler, say the bill sweeps too broadly.
Ooh.
And would chill constitutionally protected free speech, including legitimate criticism of Israel.
This is so bad that even Jerry Nadler is against it. That's how crazy this is. Look at this. Where is his comments here? On Wednesday, Representative Jerry Nadler, the longest-serving Jewish House Democrat, spoke out against the bill on the House floor, arguing that the IHRA's definition of anti-Semitism, quote, may include protected speech in some contexts, particularly with respect to criticism of the state of Israel. Now, I do think that there are some that are a little bit smarter than some others, and maybe, I'm not sure, I can't back this up because there's nothing that indicates this, but maybe Jerry Nadler is slightly smarter than the other ones. And what I'm getting at is that this is not going to work very well. Like, the more you do this and legally try to, you know, protect, you know, not protect them, but like go after people, I guess, that criticize Israel. And again, none of this is about, like, you know, Jews are disproportionately behind, you know, immigration groups, or, you know, or being activists for, you know, liberal causes, or, you know, things like that. Like, that's not even, that's not like what they're standing up for here, if you know what I mean. They're like saying, oh, well, we should be able to criticize the state of Israel, like a country. And the people behind the bill and people who are supportive of the bill are just like, no, fuck that shit. No one should be able to criticize this country. And in fact, this is the most important thing. They can, 2020 riots, George Floyd, just tear down American flags and statues. And just, it's like a Maoist cultural revolution, like a great leap forward type of, insane, like Bolshevik mass revolt, right, in many American cities. Not really pushback against. There was no special laws passed to protect America or, you know, legacy Americans, right? European Americans, pioneers and settlers that built it. No, nothing like that. It was totally fine. Let them run amok. In this case, though, no, this has to be shut down. So there's a real power force that comes out here. And there's a different dynamic here of both why that might be, right? What's the reason for that? Because in one way, many of these protesters really they're kind of useful idiots in a way too, right? It's not that they might be morally correct in the sense that, like, yeah, Israel is doing a genocide in Gaza against the Palestinian people. That's not anybody who has a slight, you know, inclination of morality in their body or in their heart understands, like, okay, that's kind of shitty. You know, you don't do that. That's kind of bad. It doesn't look that great, right? And that's, of course, one of the reasons why these protests have taken off and why Israel is, like, losing in the PR war that they've been trying to wage and stuff like that. So they're not very smart about it. But at the same time, a lot of the protesters just kind of seems like, you know, oh, they're just woke idiots. They don't know. It's almost like they're useful idiots in the sense that they're wheeling these guys out so that there will be a popular pushback against these kinds of things that we're now seeing, right? So the anti-woke activists will just kind of jump on this, really. It's an easy bait for them to take, right? Christians, you know, they really want to try to get Christians more supportive of Israel and Jews and Jewish causes and things like that, and back the Zionists with even more aid, blah, blah, blah. Go after these left, they're just woke leftist idiots, you know, kind of thing. So it could be that they're, like, you know, wheeling them out to get a counter reaction, potentially. I'm not sure yet. It's a little bit early to tell, but that's some of the thoughts I have when I watch some of this stuff. Let's check out the rest of this clip here.
but others say speech has limits, and some of the rhetoric crosses the line into harassment. This Jewish student at Columbia declined to give his name.
A lot of people come to me, but maybe they don't completely understand what they say. These
Jewish student? How old is he? Like, his beard is almost gray. I mean, it's not that, sure, you could be old and going to school, I'm saying, but it's like, what? It's like one of the Jewish professors, maybe?
Those people are educated adults who are going to the best institutions in the world. They should know what they say.
The bill still needs to pass the Senate and be signed by President...
What does that mean? Like, is that a threat? What do you mean?
President Biden...
Oh, did I say, by the way, from the river to the sea, Palestine? I didn't even finish that, speaking of that. Well, frazzled here. I forgot my point. The point I need to make about that, how about that, was calling for the genocide of Jews, going back to Mike Lawler's comment, right? No, that was a response to the official party platform of the Likud party, going back to the 70s, when they basically said the same thing, like only Jewish interest or no other association but Jewish association will control Israel. I'm paraphrasing, but it was something to that effect anyways. And that was a reason then that Palestinian protesters against that picked up that line and say, no, actually, F you, this zone that you say you want, Greater Israel, essentially, that will be free. That's what they meant. And then, of course, they never touch on that.
To become law. Tony Aiello, CBS 2 News.
Okay. Anyway, so the point there is there was a number of Democrats and Republicans that voted against the bill. 70 House Democrats and 21 Republicans, so significantly more Democrats. Again, this would be what one of their only redeeming qualities. But then again, they still take AIPAC money, many of these people still. You know what I mean? And the criticism, the bar is so low, right? There's like, ooh, they might... Or it's a Jerry Nadler thing where basically like, oh, this is vastly overstepping. This will like will be people will noticing even harder and find out even more if we do this. So maybe that's the plan. I'm not sure. It's kind of hard to figure out. But here's the list here. 91 nays. And I think Democrats are listed in italic if you're actually interested in checking out the names specifically there. But anyway, that's how bad it is, right? Now, going back to the money thing here. Mike Lawler, obviously, then gets paid by the Israeli lobby to push unconstitutional anti-free speech bills. Now, the big question is, are these people, you have the issue of money, right? You have the issue of them taking bribes, essentially, from Israeli Jewish interests, Zionist interests. But I also would like to have a declaration of how many people are then also doing it for religious, theological reasons. Right, their support. They again, whether that's right or not, it's not. You know, you can argue that all day long. That's not my point. My point is, are they convicted of like, well, we have to, you know, we're standing up for Israel because it's the Christian thing to do in this case because he's a Roman Catholic, or if it's a Jewish, you know, senator or congressman or whatever or woman, they take money and they do AIPAC bidding, so they line their pockets obviously at the same time. But there's also a religious conviction, right? Like that's just what you do. We want the Moshiach to come back, or whatever. We want the end times, or whatever. So that's why I'm doing it. Because these liberals, they claim that they're so afraid of that, and that's, you know, that's my bad, you know, politics to do those stuff. But I hardly ever hear them criticizing that as an issue when it comes to like taking, you know, interest money from like Jewish Israeli Zionist causes. But anyway, yeah, 120. So it's not that much. I've seen way worse in terms of like Israeli money, right? Mike Lawler, 120,000. But still, that's $120,000 just straight into his pockets. So we got a couple of clips here. Let's do a summary. Here's the AIPAC whores, I guess, that were willing to sell out for this. As you can see, some of these people are over $1 million they've gotten. Zioclops. Ah, Elizabeth Warren, that's funny. Great leftists. Traitors, all of them. Traitors. Selling out for foreign interests. It's incredible that this is legal, that AIPAC has not been registered as a foreign, under the FARA Act, or what is it called again? Or maybe Act is in the A there. FARA. Register under FARA. Foreign Agencies Registry, or whatever it's called, right? It's a hit. It's because he's my greatest ally. That's why. There he is. Lawler. Soy face. 2 million, Mitch McConnell. 1 million, easy million, Mitt Romney. Some black guy, 300,000. Pelosi, over 500,000. Warnock, almost 1 million. Richie Torres, 1.2 million. Holy shit. Someone I've never heard of, $1 million. Duckworth, 700,000. Teddy, 1.5. Cool, 1.5. Tim Scott, 370. Tom Cotton, you didn't get that much, Tom. What are you sucking their, you know what for? Because I think they're doing it for ideological reason. Oh, no, you don't have to give me any money. I want to do this for you. I get turned on doing this for you. That's what they're about. Here's another little summary here of AIPAC money.
The American Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC. If you haven't heard about them, you've been on Mars. AIPAC spends $2 to $3 million a year lobbying Congress on behalf of Israel and promoting Zionist causes. And it frequently writes legislation for Congress.
Yep.
The American Israel Education Foundation spends millions of dollars annually on paid trips to Israel for members of Congress. They're constantly taking members of Congress to Israel for the purpose of influencing them. The Anti-Defamation League, ADL, spends millions of dollars annually spying on Americans
Yep.
who are critical of Israel. And uses massive
that.
Amounts
Anybody.
Of money in smearing those people not deemed friendly to Israel. The mainstream media also promotes the Zionist agenda by accusing those on ADL lists as being anti-Semitic. The International Fellowship of Christian and Jews uses a $100 million dollar annual revenue stream to promote Israel Zionism among evangelical Christians.
Yep. Center,
the Central Fund of Israel uses a $20 million revenue stream promoting Israeli settlements in Palestine. Christians United for Israel.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's Kufi. That's right. Of course, that's Kufi. John Hagee.
Led by John Hagee, run by a Jewish American attorney from Tel Aviv, David Brogue. Its lobbying arm is called CUFI Action Fund, headed by Gary Bauer. Uses a $7 million annual budget to lobby members of Congress on behalf of Zionist causes.
Yep.
Hagee himself has given more than $80 million to Zionist causes in Israel. And then, if that's not enough in your spare time, you might want to check out the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, Simon Wiesenthal Center, Israel Project.
Center. It's funny. The translation's funny.
With Israeli Defense Forces, Women's Zionist Organizations of America.
Yeah, it's just a handful.
The Jewish Agency for Israel, American Friends of Likud, American Israel Cooperative Enterprise, the Israel Allies Foundation, the Jewish Policy Center, Leon and Harry Helmsley Charitable Trust, Jewish Council for Public Affairs, Zionist Organization of America, World Jewish Congress, Republican Jewish Coalition, National Jewish Democratic Council, Sister Center for Security Policy, Israeli American Council, etc., 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 etc. These are all lobbying groups for Zionist Israel in Washington, D.C.
Yep. That's correct, sir. I'm glad you're getting wound up about that, because you should. Look, we did one a while ago. Check this out here. Just a few of them, right? And again, no. We not. You can't. If you accuse them of like collectively organizing and having kind of any kind of group interest here, really, then that's part of the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. And, you know, if they could pass that into law, well, maybe we can have you go to jail for pointing those very things out. Check this out here. At the point, a little bit of a compilation we did there a while ago, just to point out just how many interest groups that they have, and this is just this is by far not all of them. There's thousands. Is it a thousand? Maybe it's more than a thousand. Is it 500? I don't know. 500? Maybe that's what it is. But yeah, the Christian thing is a huge problem with this. Christians, you need to sort your shit out with this stuff here. This is a massive stranglehold they have over you when it comes to these things and the support for it. And it's not just, you know, oh, well, that's just a Schofield. No, it's not just the Schofield Bible. This extends far worse than that. And most other, you know, because that would be technically just considered evangelical, right? And of course, you have, you know, Roman Catholics, you have Lutherans, you have different Protestant denominations and all this stuff. They're on the same page and they're super gung-ho about Israel all the time. Here's going back to that Kufi that we talked about, right? Christians United for Israel. They gave Nikki Haley a prize, of course, you know. I forget who got it most recently. But this is what Hagee says. And again, the linking here, that this is like a religious thing, right? Here's the your religion says these are the chosen people. They're better than us. Remember those clips we play? These Christians are being programmed. These people are special. They're chosen by God. And that God, the Israeli God, is your God. And so you have to bow down to them ultimately. It's like through them. You know, people you said it was like, oh, you can, you know, what, before the printing press, right? Oh, you shouldn't go, you know, oh, the word of God is you know, now you can have it in your own hand, right? Because now you don't have to go through a priest or someone at the pulpit telling you what it says. Now you can read it for yourself. Yada. Well, now they're doing this. We're like, there, you can only channel this God, this thing through these people, essentially. And without them, you wouldn't even exist. That's what John Hagee says. Check out this clip here.
Why do Christians support Israel? Because the Christians owe a debt of gratitude to the Jewish people. Don't turn the television off. Listen.
I really wanted to, but for educational purpose, we'll stick around.
Romans 15:27, Paul commands all Christians, saying, quote, "For if the Gentiles, that would be us, have benefited from the Jewish spiritual things, it is their duty, the Gentiles' duty, to minister to the Jewish people in material things." That's in your Bible. It's been there since you bought it. What are the spiritual things the Jewish people have given to us? Every word in the Bible was written by Jewish hands. Every word. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all Jewish. All prophets, Ezekiel, Daniel, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, Hezekiah, Zechariah, not a Baptist in the bunch, all Jewish. The first family of Christianity, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. The 12 disciples, the Apostle Paul. Just take Jesus out of the equation and we wouldn't be here. Jesus said in John 4:22, salvation is of the Jews. Say that with me. Salvation is of the Jews. If you take Jesus out of the equation, there is no salvation for us. Take away the Jewish contribution and there would be no Christianity. That's why I say Judaism does not need Christianity to explain its existence. Christianity cannot explain its existence without Judaism because of Jesus. Why do Christians support Israel? Because all true believers are commanded to stand up and speak up for Zion's sake. Isaiah 62:1 says, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not hold my peace." It means to speak out in defense of Israel and the Jewish people when you hear people attacking. Don't walk away from them. Engage them.
That's the only time these people get angry is about when, like, Jews are in trouble or Israel. Engage them. Talk to, you know, don't attack those who are, like, attacking, you know, white people or European Americans. No, no, it's just about Israel and Jews, right? So the huge stranglehold, and it could be. Again, this is for, you know, those who are Christians to tackle with and, you know, theologically wrestle with or whatever. But what I'm saying is, I think that the part at least of the protest, or how it was pivoted at one point, could be also part of this. Let's mobilize now, like, because since October 7th, it's really been a losing battle, you know, on the information front, and they're like, support is dropping for Israel. This is like this kind of last push, right, to kind of get not just the university protest, but this is, it's part of that movement now. It's like, we gotta get these Christians involved and get them, like, on our page, and they need to go and fight, you know, on behalf of Israel you know, Zionism and Jewish interest, and it's all tied to, you know, your religion. That's what I'm hearing when I hear a John Hagee bring these things up, you know what I mean? And try to mobilize Christians for their cause, get in their face. Anyway, plenty to say about this, but a couple of super chats here. Henry Ford, 14, says, for fun, making good informative content for a decade. Thank you, Henry Ford, appreciate that. We had one from Rezin, and I saw a comment. Rezin says, good day, how's Mom and the tin lids, is that an Aussie expression? Maybe some like old British. The tin lids, I assume you're talking about the kids. They're very good, thank you. Thank you, sir. Ready for a power rant, young Vikings. Yes, in the mood to spit up my oatmeal at the screen, LOL. 7:46 a.m. in the Opal capital of the world, lols. Good to see you, man. And I saw a chat under there, Resin, too. You said, what'd you say? Censoring Odyssey that bounced my last comment, didn't show, and it charged me 10 anyway. Don't donate over at Odyssey. Is that the one I read, or was it a second one? You can just put it in the regular chat. You don't have the super chat or anything like that. But I saw that one, the one you sent. So I hope that one went through. Let me know in chat if it did, because otherwise there's a problem there too. But anyway, I guess, you know, I know you had issues with Entropy too, but. All right. Anyway, thank you, Resin. Good to see you. Hopefully, there was no issues with a chat there on Odyssey. They've been fairly good. I mean, there's always someone having an issue somewhere, I guess. Anyway, let me continue here. Different chat, Resin. Oh, it was a different chat. Well, see, then we have to sort that out, because I actually wanted to ask you, and we'll see. We'll reach out over email, you know, try to, or if you have the time, just a quick call or something. I wanted to see if you, because, you know, you've been so generous and sent so many donations on Rumble, remember? Like, you sent us $100 here and then another $100 or whatever. I want to see if they're taken from, like, your, like, do they take from your bank account? Because many times we don't even see them later on the back end. They're like, they just disappear. They're just gone. So if Odyssey has the same issues, that's like, holy shit. I'm going to, like, try to move everyone over to Entropy or something. Awful. But anyway, sorry about that. I have no idea why that is, but that has to be that issue. We'll take that off of, you know, it's not the right venue right now to talk about that on stream or whatever. But if that's the case, then you need to do a chargeback. Is obviously if they take your money, but it doesn't go through, or I can't see them on my end. Please Rumble, I think, shows you, like, they show you the chat, but then they just like scrub it on the back end, and the money is just like, well, where is it? You know. All right. Anyway. Regardless, we do appreciate, regardless of all the technical issues or whatever the hell is going on with Rumble, we appreciate the support. And I saw another one over there. Let me take that. Plebitory Destroyer says, sending $20. We'll probably not see that one either. Thanks for doing what you do, Henrik and Lana, from Gov Lover. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Gov Lover. Is that a Gov Lover? Government Lover? Is that what it's short for? And we appreciate that. Yeah, we might see $3 on that one if Rumble keeps their tradition. All right, thank you anyway, guys. I'm not. It's obviously not you guys I'm whining at. It's the goddamn Rumble people that are stealing donations you guys are sending to us. We're not even seeing it on the back end. Okay, we have so much to go through. I got to keep up here. So, the Prime Minister of Israel. Oh, you guys can't see that. Let me switch over to this view here. The Prime Minister of Israel has bragged about creating and promoting laws in the U.S. in order to censor critics. It seems that Congressman Mike Lawler doesn't represent the American people, but rather a different master, linking up to that video we play there. This is from the Israeli account back in 2020 here. It was also not for nothing that the American administration has taken this step together with us. In recent years, we have promoted laws in most U.S. states, this is from the Prime Minister of Israel here, which determined that strong actions is to be taken against whoever tries to boycott Israel. It's just the open, in-your-face rubbing here of this is it's incredible, right? You think that, hey, let's kind of do this, keep... No, they're just right in the open. Okay, yeah, we're just telling you what laws to pass now. So, like, haha, there's nothing you can do about it, basically. So here's the working definition of anti-Semitism, right, from the IHRA, which everyone's talking about so much. And we can go straight to them here, right? Contemporary examples of anti-Semitism in public life, the media, schools, the workplace, and in the religious sphere could, taking into account the overall context, include but are not limited to calling for, aiding, or justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of a radical ideology or an extremist view of religion. So, again, that's already illegal, so that's not necessary, right? But that's one of those, like, okay, well, that's, you know, okay, sure, that's illegal, you can't do that, and you don't need to have some new law with this definition in for that reason, right? It's already, like, is against the law. Second one here, making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews, such as such or the power of Jews as a collective. Again, going back then to what we talked about in terms of how many collectivized organizations under the guise that this is a Jewish interest group. It's for the Jewish people, by Jewish people, in order to advance Jewish collective interests. Right? So it's factually can be correct that you then can prove, well, they obviously have power. Now they're passing laws, or they restrict information flow or freedom of speech, or they manage to successfully lobby a Western country to open its borders or whatever. Right? There's a number of things you can say here which is factually happening, right? Such as, especially but not exclusively, the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions. And then you can get into hair splitting, maybe then. So it's like, well, no one is saying it's only Jewish people doing that, but there's a disproportionate influence, right? It's about how you apply the language here. Right? So it's like, oh, it's a disproportionate interest by people who are looking out for their own ethnic interests. So then that becomes true, but then they want to outlaw that or say that, well, that's, if you say that, that's anti-Semitism. And if someone adapts those definitions into law in order to criminalize those things, right, then you can end legally in trouble pointing something out which is factually correct. But again, you have to be very careful about the language here then, right? So it's like, well, it's a disproportionate amount of control in the media or even economy. Look at Joe Biden's administration, or how many was under the administration of Trump, or something like that, right? So they're trying to outlaw that. Accusing Jews as a people of being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing committed by a single Jewish person or group, or even for acts committed by non-Jews. I guess we can want to tie in the accusations of white privilege maybe in this, or again, if we talk about the university campuses of just decades and decades of just anti-white programming in these types of environments, well, there's obviously, like, you know, collective guilt against white people. It's been happening for how many years now? It's about ramped up over the last few years, obviously, but it's happened for a long time. Oh, white people this, white people bad, Europeans and colonialism, and white people did the benefit from this, and oh, they're wealthy. And of course, that's now then resulted in, despite what the Civil Rights Act is supposed to do for people, is an open discrimination of white people or people of European descent. So now there's places of employment that can say, well, you know, anybody who's not white can apply for this job or whatever, right? Which technically should be illegal, but it's not because, you know, it's open season on whites. But now Jews are seeking special protection, despite the fact that these things could be observable and provable. It can be factually correct, right, of disproportionate influencer power. Denying the fact scope mechanism, for example, gas chambers, or intentionally of the genocide of the Jewish people at the hands of National Socialist Germany and its supporters and accomplices during World War II, and then within parentheses, the Holocaust. So here they go after history, right? If you have a differing historical view, and if you disagree with that because you come to your own findings, or you, do math or something, like, you know, there's various things here that you can, again, claim this is insane, of like trying to go after someone who has an interest in history and come to a different historical conclusion of what the reasons for this was and what happened and how many and, you know, what about the wooden doors or whatever, right? Yeah, they want to include that there. Like, you can't, now you can't question history, by the way, which, of course, as many European countries already have these laws. And one of the things was like, well, America has the First Amendment. You might not like it, but, you know, you can disagree and you can have individualism. You can have a different view of things. Nope, that's out the window now. At least on these types of topics. You cannot think differently about this. And if you try to, well, we're going to try to pass some laws here to hold you accountable. Next one. Accusing the Jews as a people or Israel as a state of intervening or exaggerating the Holocaust. Well, wouldn't that kind of be, if you then look into history and you come to a different conclusion and then you say, well, then this idea that it must be, the exact number is 6 million. And if you doubt, if you deny that, if you say it's 5 million, you know, 993,000 people that died, can they interpret that? Well, now you're saying that we're exaggerating the Holocaust. Maybe that's too complicated of an example to take. But anyway, I'm saying, are you allowed to question one, or is it exact? It's exactly that, you know, kind of thing, like hair splitting again. But yeah, if you use it for, this is not what it's about technically, but yeah, if you use it for political purposes, let's say then, or whatever, right? Oh, I think you're exaggerating, someone says, right? I think you're exaggerating this because you're seeking political points or levying guilt or shame on a group of people or even on a country in and of itself in order to justify. Isn't that what Netanyahu just did? He invoked, where was it? In this here. He invoked the Holocaust literally within like 2 seconds.
You have to hear this to believe this. The International Criminal Court in The Hague is contemplating,
not within 2 seconds, 25 seconds,
issuing arrest warrants against senior Israeli government and military officials as war criminals. This would be an outrage of historic proportions. International bodies like the ICC arose in the wake of the Holocaust committed,
so within 25 seconds,
against the Jewish people. They were set up to prevent such horrors, to prevent future genocides.
Well, now you're doing one, buddy, right there in Gaza. Anyway, he said something about, this is about the campuses, right? Oh, the university campuses are, that's bad. We got to stop that. Something, we are the most moral, what was it again? We're the most moral army in the world. What was it? Barbarians. Here we go. Yeah, the fighting, the barbarians of Hamas. Anyway, we don't go through this. You get the point. All right, whatever. Anyway, so yeah, if they're exaggerating that, if you claim that they're exaggerating that, then you're also in trouble. Accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than to the interests of their own nations. Okay, well, let's hear it from none other than our best friend, Rabbi Nosferatu, Jonathan Greenblatt, who said this very, very well. Oh, where are we? Are we? Oh, here we go. Here we go, right? Isn't this the one? Ah, shit. I get all my clips mixed up. This is not the one, right? Okay. I'm sorry. That didn't come in right then. Let me find that, because we gotta hear that. That's actually very, very important in the context of things here. Let me search for this again here. To apologize. Greenblatt. Because here we go. Anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Here we go. Here's Rabbi Nosferatu. Here we go.
Every Jewish person is a Zionist. But every Saturday morning, like, you open your prayer book and it talks about Zion. It talks about Jerusalem. Jews have been praying to Jerusalem for 2,000 years. Zionism is whether you're a religious Jew going to synagogue every day, or you're just a cultural Jew who even thinks of themselves as an atheist. Zionism is embedded in our tradition. It's fundamental to our existence. Anti-Zionism is genocide.
And then here's Chuck Schumer, the senator.
For as long as I live, for as long as I have the privilege of serving in the Senate from New York, I will unflinchingly, unstintingly, and with all of my strength be Shomer Yisrael, a guardian of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Yisrael Chai in Israel and America. The Jewish nation lives now and forever.
Accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than to the interest of their own nations. I think Schumer has double dual citizenship, doesn't he? If he doesn't, you know he wants to, and at the right time, he will. Just like, like a Jonathan Pollard or whatever, born in Texas, right? He's an American, just like, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, oh, finally, I'm home, and he goes to Israel. I've just sold out these nuclear secrets, to Israel, and of course they gave him to the Soviet Bolsheviks, right? That's provable, right? Oh, Jonathan, this is what we do. It's all about Israel for us. Zion is, but we pray to that every day, even liberal ones. Again, they're collective. Here, they're perfectly fine collectivizing themselves as a mono interest, essentially. A monolithic interest group, which is then fine when they do it, right? Well, we can do it because we think it's positive. But if you point it out and say, well, I think that's bad for a country like America to have these foreign interests and people who have foreign citizenship or at least dual citizenship doing things on behalf of a country which they are not even an elected representative of. Denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination, for example, or as in, by claiming the existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor. Now, this is where you get in kind of like lefty territory. Is it a racist endeavor for them? Well, no, I mean, but it's the double standard then, which is, wasn't that one of the other points here, double standards, that they can have a nation with borders and walls and whatever, but then, Jewish activists in many of our countries around the West says, well, you can't have that because that's bad and racist. So you can't have, if you have a political party that's working for the self-determination of the Danish people, then that's bad, and that we have to work against that. And then liberal leftist Jews show up and they're just like, my racisms, for example. And then you point that out and say, well, that's anti-Semitic to suggest that there's any kind of interest here that has anything to do with any different group or whatever. Now it's just an individual. It has nothing to do with anything. But then, of course, it booms right back to collectivizing again. And here's our interest at the very core. Then you have the religious aspect of destroying Amalek and Edom and all that crazy shit, which less people talk about, but at least the kind of liberal stuff is being found out mostly now. Here's the second one, right? One of the last ones here about applying double standards. So they say here, applying double standards by requiring of it, meaning Israel or Jews, maybe probably Israel then, a behavior not expected or demanded of any other nation. Well, isn't this in reverse? This is like putting the cart before the horse. There's nations trying to do the kind of things that Israel is doing. Not genocide. It's actually not comparable in that sense at all, right? Which takes us to one of the last points here on this list too. These are like our nations that have remained our nations. They have continually been occupied since as far back in memory we can go by our people. And then we don't have the right to self-determination now all of a sudden in our countries. And somehow that's bad, right? So it's actually not comparable. But still, they say, oh, well, you're like the Nazis now, which is a dumb and cringe thing to say. But then even like the wrong accusations, which is just like a leftist talking point, even that you can't do. This is one of the last ones that we'll get to that one, right? Using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, as in claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel to characterize Israel or Israelis. Now, this is the one that all the... There's so many others here, right? This is the one that the Christians are upset by. Because it says so in the Bible that the Jews killed Jesus, right? Or something to that effect. And that's fine. Like, if that's what you want to criticize, that's fine. But there's so many other things here that's obviously... I mean, if you're religiously bound, it's not going to be more important to you. Obviously, right? But it's going to be, like, way more... Well, you can't say that. Okay, if you're a believer and you think that, and then you can't, you know, preach the Bible or read the Bible. You can read it, but you couldn't preach it, I guess, or something. Like, you can still have a copy unless they'd censor the book or something. But what I'm saying is that's just one of many things here, right? And it's not the only one, but that's kind of what they've honed in on. I'd say this is, well, look at this. They're banning our religion type of thing. And I don't think they'll do that. In fact, I think there's a pivot where, much like the Hagees of this world, they realize, no, we're going to have to join these forces. I think at some point you're going to see a real push. You've done that already, of course, for many decades with all these groups and stuff. But like really trying to get kind of, you know, normie, or even, I know a lot of Christian nationalists won't probably fall for this, right? Which is, you know, good for them, but not falling for that. But like, really try to get the Christians on board even more, even harder. That's what I think we'll see, because I think they realize that's one of the only groups of alliances they have, as they've multiculturalized our nations, as they've diversified them, as they're replacing the population, and the younger kids in our countries in the West are getting browner, and they don't care about Israel because it's a racist, you know, white supremacy, Western colonialist power. Which is not, right? But that's what they claim. That's thanks, Frankfurt School activists, right? And Columbia University. Because those talking points come from there, essentially, right? So that's one thing. So I think there's far more things than just that you should hone in on. If that's your angle, like, okay, fine. But there's far worse things in terms of, like, well, you know, there's things here that are preventing you from pointing out that there's disproportionate representation in some of these activist groups, or like that they're pushing for control of, they have institutional power, you know, within the political system, or a disproportionate amount of them have control within the media or something like that, right? So it's all these other aspects beyond just this thing with the Bible. But anyway, they threw that in there too. And so you can't do that because that reflects negatively on Israel, Israelis, which of course is Jews, right? Drawing comparisons of contemporary Israeli policy to that of the Nazis. And it kind of aligns with the double standard one, right? There is no comparison, but that's all the leftists have. Oh, they're the new Nazis, and that's why we're against them. No, they're not. Isn't it not even any similarities whatsoever? The only like overlap is like the transfer agreement or something. You had like briefly Zionists working together with National Socialists to try to get Jews out of, you know, German and European countries. And that's about it. The Germans didn't steal their land from anybody or like, you know, bombing someone in their countries. Jews were recently arrived and then they declared a war on Germany after they had got upset about the Weimar period, you know, and started pushing back. But anyway, so you can't do that either. So leftists even are in trouble here, right? That's what's so this is kind of funny about this in a way. They can't even do their stuff now. Oh, you know, Netanyahu is like Hitler. It's like, ugh, boomer, cringe, gay. Holding Jews collectively responsible for actions of the state of Israel. Well, again, I just refer to Greenblatt on that one. He says that essentially Zion, which they equate to Israel, is the Jewish people's interests. And they're happy to collectivize when it fits them. But then if it's about critique, then, oh, well, it's just an individual again, obviously. And it finishes off here. Anti-Semitic acts are criminal when they are so defined by law. That's, of course, why they wanted this definition into the legal system, right? So this would be then, if it goes into effect, this would be, as far as I understand, within the educational structure of the United States, But it will probably extend beyond institutions that technically I said, not federal institutions. Didn't use that word in the news report. It was a word they used. I think it was an educational institution. It was something like that to that effect. But anyway, this is a tippy toe tactic. You start, you expand it out. Well, now in this environment, you can't say X. And then, now it's in this environment, you can't say this. And now it's in this, right? But of course, passing laws against, you know, you being criticized, that's usually not, doesn't bode that well, right? I don't think that's going to be a winning strategy for them, if you know what I mean. Just Grifting and Gaming on Odyssey says they never mention what the Bible actually says about usury. Jesus throwing money changers out of the temple and the assertion that Jews are the synagogue of Satan and the Jews of Revelations/End Times are imposters. If you can't read your own book, I can't take your faith seriously. Yeah, I mean, you can argue about that, and they will interpret or take things that they need to formulate to get the Christians kind of on their page. I still think he's right in the sense that it's inseparable. I think that's factually correct, right? All the early Christians were Jews. It was like 10, I think, of the 12 apostles were Jews and things like that. Whether it's for political reasons or genuine theological ones, whatever, you can argue that back and forth, whatever. But yes, I get your point. Obviously, they will take what they need to take at that moment. You could take other things out of it. It's a Septuagint, right? So 77 books? Seven books? Is that what it is? By seven authors? I forget what it is. Or is it the reverse of that? Anyway, a lot of different voices in that, right? So you're going to have contradictions within it. That's my point. And so you can cherry pick and pick out whatever you want in order to make your case, if you know what I mean. But anyway, I'm not interested in that. I'm not a Christian, so it doesn't really apply to me. I don't believe in Yahweh. I don't believe in their God or whatever it is that they're pushing. But they're very upset about pagans. We'll get to that later too, by the way. they claim this is a pagan, or some of them, not all of them, but we'll get to that momentarily. The pagans at the protests here. it's funny. One more here from Odin. Says, it's always better to sign up on the official site. I need to renew soon. Do the executive producer roles come through correctly for you? Yes, they should. Also, what does this Shine New Law mean for you guys with red eyes? I'm not sure, actually. I don't think, going back to that and you know, the definition, all that stuff. I understand why the Christians say that. They're trying to ban the gospel. I think that's mostly the terminology I saw. It's fine. Like, if you need to use whatever you need to use to push back and criticize, I don't care what angle you focus on or whatever. I personally think it's a broad range here of things, and they all should be pushed back. Because all of this shit is insane. It's no other group is exempt from criticism in this kind of capacity. Right? And yes, they throw in a religious aspect in that too. But I don't think anybody anywhere will end up... We'll see. I could be wrong on that. But, you know, we'll see. I don't think anybody's going to... The Bible is not going to be banned. They're not going to arrest people that read even those passages from the Bible. I don't think that's going to happen. I could be proven wrong. We'll see what happens. But I don't think so. So as usual in the beginning, it's very kind of nebulous, maybe, or even a definition like this is still very undefined, right? Of, well, what does this really mean? And what if you say something like this, but you kind of use other terms, or you try to be even more factual in your terminology, as opposed to being kind of, just a broad sweeping, I guess, in your terminology. I don't think anything's immediately going to happen. Usually they don't, right? But that's what they do with these. If there's other hate speech laws, right? In Ireland has their own. Scotland passed one, right? Ireland is pushing one through. Europe has various kinds. Sweden is kind of doing similar things to what they're doing in the U.S. now with like anti-Semitism laws and stuff. And usually it doesn't like immediately happen. So like some crackdown immediately. Usually that doesn't happen. It picks up momentum and speed, and most of it is about a chilling effect, right? Of saying, well, now you can't talk about X because if you do, you could, and up legally in trouble. Now, that doesn't mean they won't do anything legally, of course. But initially, at least to answer your question, very little, I think, at the beginning, to be honest. Very little, at least for us. But then again, you never know. As far as I know, this is now just within the educational I forget the term they use in the news report there, but it's within the Department of Education that would enact this first. So then the question is, okay, what else will it be? Will come to a federal level, and now it's the entire country or every sphere, you know, of within a country that's defined by. That's a different thing, right? But that's why it's important to push back against it immediately, because otherwise it just keeps growing like a cancer. It just takes off. You got to nip it in the bud right away. Like, no, we're not doing this, right? As to the first one, it doesn't really matter where you sign up. To be honest, it doesn't matter. You can do it Odyssey or Locals. You can use Subscribestar. We have the donor box widget on redhousemembers.com, which works very well. We're working on our new plugin there now, so hopefully that will be up and running and available. I hope within a week or so. I have a little delay on that, but that then everything will be automatic there. But it doesn't really matter. But anyway, thank you, Odin. Appreciate that. Wherever is convenient for you. Otherwise, if you have any questions, just email us, redhouse@protonmail.com. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Okay, there's a couple of more on Rumble here. Unity17, throwing some support your way. Love what you guys do. I usually catch the show later. Keep up the good work. Accelerate the noticing. HH. Is that Heil Henrik? Is that what it is? Well, it's ended up between Hermann Göring and... who was the other one? Hermann Göring and Heinrich Himmler. That's right. On Facebook's Most Dangerous Individuals list. Anyway, thank you, Unity17. If you can use another super chat next time, please do. Rumble sucks and they take our money. So if you can, but we appreciate the support anyway. We gotta try to make some people know about that a little bit better. Thank you, though. I do appreciate it. Okay. Speaking of dual loyalty, check a thing like this out, right? They just passed a bill making it illegal to accuse Jewish congressman Brian... Well, he's not, though, right? He's not Jewish. Unless they just don't have it on his Vicky or something like that, which, of course, is possible. You think he is? Because here he is sitting with an Israeli military uniform on. Brian Mast. American politicians of Mexican descent... Evangelicals. Yeah, you think he's Jewish, but he's actually not, I think, American amputees. Do we got the right guy? Is he in a wheelchair or something? Like a foot? His hands and arms seems to be there. Anyway, it's still a point taken here from Syrian Girl. They just passed a bill making it illegal to accuse Congressman Brian Mast of dual loyalty to Israel. He wore an Israeli uniform to Congress. that's what's so crazy about it. But anyway, we'll get into keep this in mind too, right? It's like, okay, yeah, they're going after, certain scripture and stuff like that. But keep in mind, these groups and organizations, they've been trying to outlaw Native European spirituality for the longest time. Many of them are now considered our symbols, our ancient language. This would be like picking out certain Yiddish or Hebrew characters and hate label them. Say, this is a symbol of hate, right? So there's like runes that they're outlawed or want to. This, they have not technically passed a law against this yet. But if the other shit goes through, which they're trying to do, how far off is this, right? On this list alone, 1, 2, 3, 4 of them are from the Norse alphabet. Runes. It's just incredible, right? But yeah, you have the Celtic cross on there, the Iron Cross, and of course, the Thor's hammer. That's not technically a rune, right? But that's still Norse mythology. This is the ADL. And these other interest groups have, are pushing for that type of stuff. Oh, well, this is white supremacy. Blah, blah, blah. Palantir CEO calls Colombia anti-Israel protests pagan and says he's dreamed of drone striking his enemies. What the fuck? Now, Alex Karp here, we've talked about him in the past, right? He's the guy who got seed money from Peter Thiel, right? He was, which of course is this great, this right-wing conservative voice. Yeah, right. Did a segment on it, Palantir. Alex Karp talked about how they prevented nationalist political parties in European countries from coming to power by using their Palantir technology. Why? How? Well, I summarize it real quick. Palantir offers artificial intelligence and other type of technologies to governments, which they can use in their, you know, for their national security purposes. So we now live in a situation in Western countries where we're being bombed and, you know, have terrorist attacks against us on a regular basis. Why? Well, because, again, let's collectivize them. People who Alex Karp, the people who Alex Karp belongs to, the Jewish group, have, again, disproportionately, to be accurate, lobbied or represented groups that lobbied for opening the borders to many European countries, right? You know, Barbara Spector, Paideia, you know, those kinds of groups. We've talked about that many times in the past. David Schwartz, then you have the little police enforcers, if you will, there from, you know, pressure groups and the media. So you're from Expo, you have like Jonathan Lehmann, for example, in the media. You have Jan Schirman, you have Robert Aschberg, you have Peter Wolodarski behind today's news, Dagens Nyheter, DN. There's many other voices we can wrap. David Schwartz, of course, is a famous activist who started, a Jewish activist who started writing about how Sweden must become multicultural, for example, back in the 70s, I believe he started that. And there's been a entire study on this. There's a whole paper out, I forget the author of the paper. But he talked about how many foreign, and many of them were disproportionately Jewish too, by the way, interest award that had started the immigration discourse in Swedish papers back in the 70s, going into the 80s and 90s. And of course, from there, then the borders actually opened, partially because, of course, the lobbying of these types of individuals and those groups that they represent. So speaking to that, Alex Karp here, the Jewish CEO of Palantir, said that when he was interviewed by Swedish media, said he was very proud over the fact that his technology had been used to prevent terrorist acts in Sweden. And it's like, and it wasn't then because, oh, because that saved lives and that was, we stopped that. No, it's so bad in our countries that we're importing in people that want to kill us. Right? That's what the focus should be. Was that his focus? No, his focus was instead, therefore, the terrorist acts did not happen in Sweden. And you know what that led to? That led to the Swedish people being continued complacent over the dangers that they actually do face with the people that are in their proximity that actually hate them and want to kill them. So instead, they kept going to sleep because there wasn't a terrorist attack, and they continued to vote for the Social Democrats or the moderate party or something like that, the Liberal Party. Because he said otherwise they would have voted for the Sweden Democrats. Yeah, that's what he said. He said, oh, basically, we prevented right-wing nationalistic parties from coming into place in Europe because we stopped the terrorism. So this is the only way to keep a multicultural society going, right? We have now artificial intelligence and robots, essentially, that just like will keep everything under rigid control. Massive repressive surveillance state. Look at how the multiculturalism is working great. You speak up against it, hate speech, in jail with it, straight to jail, right? We stopped up this you're living with people that want to bomb you, but we're using AI to kind of to do a pre-crime here, to predict when they would do the terrorism. If that technology works like that, that's what I heard him say anyway. And we can put him in jail or we can prevent at least the attack, right? They'll probably let him out again so he can try to do it again. But we have all these AI systems in place now. It's great. So here's the comment. Let's listen to what he said here about the pagan stuff. We have the first one I want to play. Around 2 minutes and five, 2 hours rather, 5 minutes, 30 seconds. Let's listen from here somewhere.
One, on spending, but they also need to do a better job explaining how they see the world to America, which does organize defense. Israel, I would say, I'm pro-West, so these things fall from that.
So when he brings up Israel, he says, I'm pro-West. Interesting note here about how he frames this.
Leaving the obvious.
When he says West, he means this. I'm pro-West. that's what he means. So just to be clear about that.
The fact that democracies should not be held to...
TM, can I get a... Can I get a Roman in chat on that one? It's like, yes, I called it.
Differentiating standards.
Yes, my democracy, which of course means like all those things now that have undermined our countries. I'm pro-West. I'm with you guys.
Depending on...
But also them. Let's pivot towards Israel in this discussion.
Their apparent tribal affiliation. So I'm very against double standard, triple standard, quadruple standard. Like, you know, we're going to have a standard for us. Somehow our adversaries get a better standard than Israel. Makes no sense to me.
So I'm pro-West, but somehow all of this is about Israel.
Then you see the disaster, unforgivable, incomprehensible, logical expansion of the double standard world manifesting itself on college campuses where, you know, they've dedicated themselves perhaps correctly to an architecture of anti-discrimination while dressing in masks and excluding the population that's been most discriminated for the last 3,000 years.
He's talking about Jews, obviously there. Well, will you look at what your own people have done when it comes to that? Anti-discrimination. Yeah, well, it started with going after whites. And now, yeah, some Jews are feeling the brunt end of that because they think they're white supremacists. that's what that's about. But let's cut forward a little bit to when he talks about the how they're pagan, apparently, these protesters. 2 hours, 9 minutes. And let's play from here.
A particular way of seeing the world that I do believe is superior. And, you know, we have to defend the ability to defend the idea that some things work better, some things don't. We have an idea. And then again, I would say that's why this...
He means his corporation, his attitude, his approach to life, his Western democratic TM system.
Conference is so important. We do have an idea of things that have superior output and things that do not work. That's why we have the best tech scene in the world. 70% of the top 50 tech companies in the world are American. 86% of the market cap is American. Why is that? It is the outgrowth of a way of organizing ourselves, building things that are an outgrowth of those values, building things that organize people from all different populations, from people with different views, different countries, the whole venture community, many of us in tech.
Diversity. So he's just railing on, like, university campuses, the liberal, you know, indoctrination essentially there, anti-discrimination, which have then led to, like, we're bitten whites so much in the bud, and we're basically, you know, we basically chased them away, right? Whites are vastly underrepresented at the Ivy League schools in America right now, in, again, proportion to the population numbers. And now they're basically just turning on Jews. And so, but still, diversity, you see, is our strength. All these values that now you literally are seeing falling apart in front of your eyes, and you're seeing that as one of the reasons of why these universities are doing what they're doing, because it's basically a bunch of brown people that are siding with brown issues over what they perceive as to be Western racist colonialist issues. So is this guy smart? Are they really this dumb and isolated and detached from what actually is happening out there? I guess so. Until proven otherwise, that's what I have to assume, right? But let him get to the other part of how he ties in paganism in this era.
You were born abroad or came here, came back after long periods of time. That system of building things is our and the embodiment of it in companies that are disruptive because they can create value that is at least an order of magnitude greater than their current way of creating value. When it is aligned with our government, leads to prosperity, leads to dialogues that lead to new companies, leads to immigration of the people that will build these kind of companies. It excludes dysfunction. It excludes...
It has brought nothing but dysfunction, and you're seeing that the late stage multiculturalism is what you're seeing now all over the West. And he's still sitting there in his ivory tower, completely detached, no idea what's going on the ground, but he's obviously getting the news of what's happening at these university campuses. So what does he go on to say? Well, they're all pagans. And that's the reason why it's all screwed up.
Includes ways of thinking that leave you being commoditized in your thinking. And I, you know, Israel, Ukraine, Maven are outgrowths of that philosophy. It's not particularly a one issue being different than another. And in almost all cases, Maven supporting supporting army, we were protested every day in Silicon Valley. What you mostly heard
he'll get to the pagan thing because he's kind of spurgy in his how he delivers this. But so we'll get to it. So wait for that. Keep that in mind. But this is like a defense contractor. He offers like a lot of intelligence stuff for military and stuff like that to develop, maybe not directly weapon systems, although sounding from what he says about how he wants to drone strike his enemies, I assume maybe they are, maybe they have some projects going that he is not, they're not really open with or whatever, some secret defense contracts or something with the U.S. and Ukraine and probably Israel too, for that matter. So he's like a war hawk, like literally the things that are driving migrants out of these countries. He's part of that entire, you know, to use the term military industrial complex, which is, again, fascinating on this. Right. So they make money. This is his business, essentially, on those types of things. So import all these people because of all these foreign neocon wars. And then when they're in our countries and these Muslims want to bomb us, then we'll use our AI technology to keep everyone to predict ahead of time what they were going to do to stop it so that it will work.
I agree with you, but lots of people are going to yell at you, and maybe you shouldn't do this. And I would also say, you know, a lot of the people who think that way believe the other side can't win. If you don't believe the other side can't win, look at Colombia.
Here we go.
There is literally no way to explain the investment in our elite schools, and then the output is a pagan religion. A pagan religion.
This guy is so retarded. It's incredible. Wow. Is this your unit? What is it with these Yahweh worshippers? You have to bow down to our God, the God of Israel, our God. So the biggest beef is with pagans, and it has been historically, like if you look at it. That's their big beef. They might not like some passages of the Bible. Yes, I know they have their Talmud and they talk about Jesus boiling in excrement and all that kind of shit, right? But that's because he's like he turned against he tried to reform, right? Jesus tried to reform Jews, essentially, right? He wanted them to become messianic, which is funny with the whole Moshiach thing, because it's like, okay, he wasn't the true Messiah according to Jews then, right? But of course they're still working towards and waiting for and want their real Messiah, the real Moshiach, to come. And by the way, we're seeing flags of Moshiach now on these university campuses when the Israeli protesters or the Israeli counter-protesters are moving in and beating up Palestinians, by the way, which is a completely different side note to this. But yeah, did you miss when American students are literally, this is like still Abrahamism here. They're bowing down to the Muslim God here, Allah. Look at this. This is at, forget what university this is at. Look at this. That's you might have your beef with Muslims or whatever, like Jews and Carp, but at the end of the day, this is your Abrahamism here. This is third way Abrahamism, and all these kids at these colleges are just basically adopting this now and bowing down to it because they think it's better for some reason. Paganism? I don't think so. Anyway, it goes on from there. We don't have time to play all that, but you get my drift. I think this is a retarded comment. Absolutely retarded. This is a Semitic squabble, and you might bicker over whose God is, you know, the real one or whatever, but it certainly is not paganism. There's no one on those universities are running around with like, well, Odin is a, you know, hey, Odin, you know, it's like, no, they, this is, I mean, I'd say religion is not part of it for the most part of this. They're what, atheist, maybe? Maybe that's what he means. That's what paganism is. Because yeah, my Yahweh is superior, you see. And everyone just have to bow to them. Just have them. Can we forcefully have them adopt the Noahide laws or something, and then we'd be much better off? Because these people are the light unto the nations, and they're the ones who's going to give us, without their God, there would be no morality, right? Without their books, the pagan barbarians out of Europe wouldn't have any morality. Yeah, fuck you. We don't need you. We don't want your shit. Keep it to yourself. Okay, so anti-Semitism laws have been in the works for some time, And it's not just that it's communism that will come in the wake of something like that. It's to outlaw critique of those who are basically overthrowing the system. Right? You take full control, and then you execute the Revolutionary Guard and those who helped you to bring about the revolution. Essentially, you take those people out. that's how they did it in, you know, the Bolsheviks did it, right? In Russia. And you'll have a great reset afters, of course. You have a full takeover. Year zero, once again. Like I said, some kind of quote here said, imagine being so vile, sneaky, and disgusting that laws have to be created to keep normal people from hating or condemning you. I thought that was pretty appropriate, actually. Trump meets with DeSantis in quest for donors, calls for protesters to be shut down one day later. So Trump is potentially going to be brought in at some point here as the guy who's going to fix it for Israel. And again, that's what I'm thinking the pivot here might be. The useful idiots, leftists, right, are weaponized once again in order to elicit a response. Because it's not comparable to what happened during the BLM riots and stuff, because then it was mostly hands-off. They could burn and loot and arson and kill people and go after white people on the streets, and nothing really happened. It wasn't really a lot of legal repercussions from that. In this case, they're actually clamping down. Because now it's like, oh, it's hurting Israel. They're counter-signaling Israel. Send in the cops. Break it up. Bashing their heads. Right? So I don't think it's comparable. So now they send out the anti-woke crowd can come out, kind of the MAGA Trump supporter types, right, can come out and kind of reinvigorate a pro-Israeli, philo-Semitic kind of viewpoint, essentially. Now, hopefully it doesn't turn that way, but it very well could. So we'll see what happens. But it looks, and I've seen other commentators talk about that too. It seems very... They talked about how some of the protests seemed kind of almost astroturfed, you know, which is kind of interesting. Anyway, Trump phoned into, you know, we don't have to listen to the clip now, but he phoned into Hannity and complaining like, oh, this has to be stopped. What did he say? Yeah, anti-Semitism must be stopped, right? So he's no different than Biden, which is now, you know, sitting there going to help to enforce this. This is what Biden said regarding how violent protesters is not, kind of protected, right?
We've all seen images, and they put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me. The first is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard. The second is the rule of law. Both must be upheld. We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. The American people are heard. In fact, peaceful protest is in the best tradition of how Americans respond to consequential issues. But, neither are we a lawless country. We are a civil society, and order must prevail.
So let me imagine him saying that during the BLM riots, right? Did we get a speech like that? No, we didn't, which I think proves my point. It's like, because someone will say what I just said about, like, oh, if these are useful idiots to kind of make them, not maybe that to make them look bad, but like the... There are interests that can wield these, that can activate these types of crowds and these types of guys at the right time when it's appropriate, and then they try to elicit a response, right? Because a critic would say, well, then you mean, so the BLM, riots were about turning white people to white nationalism or whatever. You kind of think like, no, why? Because the difference was they were allowed to run, you know, on their terror campaign, allowed to run free. But there wasn't, was there any criminal charges? But, you know what I mean? It's like, no, not that I remember. People were beaten up and places were burnt down. People died. I mean, it was just insane, crazy, right? And in fact, as one of the donors said earlier there, Zionist groups somehow come in and they're now turning violent. They're the ones actually doing violence against... maybe there were some violence by pro-Palestinian protesters, but it doesn't look like it. Not much, anyway. What I could see. But anyway, here's when some of the pro-Zionist, pro-Israeli groups come in. Look at this.
Free Palestine!
They're throwing like fireworks in at their encampment there. Next clip here is them beating someone up here.
Pussy, 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 pussy,
D.C. and D.C. No place in this world. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Anyways, apparently they beat him up there. So, and it was not the only one. And then, of course, as I said here real quick, we saw these guys carrying the Moshiach flag. Moshiach, I think he says. But listen to this there.
First I've seen of this. I've never seen this flag before or this logo. I don't know if that's what this group is. We've been trying to get a clear view of what that says. I think it says Moshiach? Moshiach?
Yes.
I'm totally unfamiliar with what that is. I've never seen
another informed person in the news, I hear.
That flag flying, but that is...
They have no clue about this shit.
A new thing that all of a sudden someone has brought to the front line of that.
Yep.
Very curious about what that is.
Yeah, that's the end times Messiah program that Jews have running here. Yes, that's what burning the heifers and the Moshiach is going to come out of all of this once we've destroyed Amalek and Edom and, what was it, 3 of the 613 commandments? The mitzvahs is about destroying Amalek, I believe. Right, so yeah, that's part of the thing. That's why our countries are collapsing partially, because there's people who have a religious view here, theocratic view then, because again, leftists claim they're so worried and concerned about this, but they don't say anything about this shit with the Moshiach and you know, the Orthodox, you know, Chabad, you know, faction to all of this that are pushing. Yeah, they want to. Yeah, they're talking about the end of the world. By the way, end times are going to come, and the Messiah, their Moshiach, is going to come back. Here's Tom Cotton here, who received, what's it, 100, 200,000 from AIPAC, something like that. Listen to what he said about these protests.
We're here to discuss the little Gazas that have risen up on campuses across America.
And the well, I guess that's why the Jews are bombing them now then, with the fireworks.
Liberal college administrators and politicians who refuse to restore law and order and to protect other students. These little Gazas are disgusting cesspools of anti-Semitic hate. Full of pro-Hamas sympathizers, fanatics, and freaks.
Oy vey, but let's not talk about the Leahy flag that showed up at New York outside of Columbia. I don't have the picture here now with me, but I showed it in the Western Warrior. Leahy, which is the paramilitary terrorist organization from Israel, right? They actually killed one of the Swedish diplomats, Folke Bernadotte, after he helped to rescue 450 Danish Jews. This is how the Leahy repaid him, by the way. They assassinated him. But no mention about that. Oh, that's totally fine. But, you know, if you see a Hamas flag or whatever, all have these politicians pee their pants over this. Seeing Leahy flags, to, you know, Israeli paramilitary terror organizations. Yeah, it's totally fine. That's our guys. Oh, are those the guys that gave me money? Oh, okay. All right. I'll stay quiet about that then.
The terrorist sympathizers in these little Gazas aren't peacefully protesting Israel's conduct of the war. They're violently and illegally demanding death for Israel, just like their ideological twins, the Ayatollahs in Iran.
Yeah, it's Iran. That's the Iran is the big problem. The Ayatollah Khomeini, that's the big issue here. All right. Oh my gosh. What else do we have here? Where do you even begin with these people? Yeah, so here's some footage inside. Again, it's leftist, right? So they will turn everything to shit. I mean, that's true. Spray paint everything, it becomes dirty and smelly, and there's probably, you know, poop or pee and some buckets standing around or whatever, you know, that's kind of what they do. But again, I think this that we like, although they are morally correct to you know, to protest, because it's kind of in an American university, it just feels like kind of overreach. Do you know what I mean? I understand as to be sincere obviously about this, but like, I understand not all of them can go to, like, you know, Israel and protest there or whatever. I understand that. But it also just kind of feel like it's a little bit misdirected of sorts, right? Especially in the university environment. Like, how much ties that the university really have to Israel? At least how it begun. Maybe later. Like, if they want to protest AIPAC and shit, like, yeah, that's great. Go to, like, D.C. outside of these offices. That, you know, do shit like that. But it seems to be very confined to the university environment, which is kind of that You know what I mean? It kind of plays into that, the anti-woke kind of conservative faction here. Like, oh, we got to push this woke out. Basically, they just want to, like, you know, let's just go back to the good old anti-white days when no one talked about Israel or Jews. That, like, that's what it feels like. You know what I mean? They want to take, you know, two bold steps back as we've taken 20 steps forward over the last 20 years. Anyway, here's some from inside. Here's the UCLA in California, the Royce Hall, it's called. Check this out. So a little short clip there, but yeah, you see what I'm saying, right? It's spray painted, dirty, everything or whatever. And of course, here's the high IQ students being wheeled out to make statements about how it's colonialism. Listen here.
I think it's more than divestment as well. I think given the fact that the University of California is founded on colonialism, it's inherently a violent institution. There needs to be...
The university that let you in, that has allowed you to do this for a month on end now? It's a violent institution.
An addressment of...
These people are morons.
U.S. imperialism and its ties to the UC system and how it perpetuates war and violence abroad.
And racism.
Not only abroad, but also here, locally. We see this with the brutality, the police brutality that black and brown students face here at UCLA.
Ah, yes.
Arab
there
students,
we go.
Muslim students, Palestinian students. And I myself have personally been... face those violences that the UC has perpetuated and continues to perpetuate. It's not just a means of divestment. It's a divestment from Zionism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Great, huh? Here's another one here. Let me see here. Yeah, brilliant line for the GOP. Shutting down protests against U.S./Israel war policy is the new civil rights movement. Representative Burgess Owens compares the protests on college campuses to KKK rallies in the Deep South. Let's listen in.
Well, you know, we have a nation, Josh, that's built on the concept of becoming a more perfect union. I watched back in the 60s, as I grew up in the Deep South, KKK, Jim Crow, and segregation, seeing these same kind of demonstrations, but of hate against black people. And to tell you what the American people did, they, once they were aware of it, once they realized that there was an unfairness, that we were not moving in the right direction, that hate is not within our DNA, they stood up. We passed laws. They came together and would actually demonstrate with showing every type of American together against this hatred. We're going to be doing the same thing here. As you're going to start seeing, you see the difference in the way that America deals with demonstrations and getting our voices out, and those who believe in chaos, the Marxist ideology of destruction and chaos and anger.
So some lawmakers, based on what we've seen on the campus with the encampments, have actually called for Columbia's president to resign because of all this. I want to get your take on that. What are your thoughts overall?
It's no question. The president came before our hearing just last week and made promises that this would never happen, that the Jewish people would not be treated the way black Americans were treated back in the 60s, that they would stand up and make sure people felt so. She's not doing that. She doesn't have the courage to do that. She needs to move a step aside.
So basically, this is like the... I guess it's the battle that happened early on in the Ukraine-Russia war. That's basically what it is. It's two sides calling each other, maybe not directly Nazis, but in some cases, yes, but adjacent terms, right, such as they're KKK or they're white supremacist or this is Western colonialism, right? That's, again, that's the high bar discourse here. So I'm saying, like, the standard is always set historically after how white's bad, and then it's just how much do these other groups that are bad measure up to being in close proximity to being as bad as the whites. That's the discourse from both camps, from both sides. That's always what it leads to, right? Well, that's the real Nazis. You see the Palestinian protesters, and although they might, you know, not be the smartest and kind of used in a sense, right, and down for thinking that Israel is white supremacy, at least morally, they have a point, you know, in terms of like what's happening in Gaza. But the other side, I think, is going to be highly mobilized, by the way, from much of this, and it could also be one of the reasons for why they've introduced that law right now, because it could actually get a lot of momentum. among conservatives, and maybe it's something under Trump that will come into effect. Well, we have to stop, you know, all the anti-white shit at the universities. Perfectly fine for decades and decades. They draw the line there, and that's when the Zogbots come out. Anyway, I saw a funny, clip here. I'll play it to you. So it's when my dad asks me, how can America be saved?
We've got one hope, which is anti-Semitism.
All right, that's funny. That was funny. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. I do appreciate it. We're going to wrap up right there. We're going to be back tomorrow, of course, with Flashback Friday. We have a lot of good stuff to talk about, so please join us then. A couple of stories here from today, which I thought was kind of interesting, but doesn't really tie in. We'll stay to this topic here for today about the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. And that'll wrap up the bag here nicely towards the end. But yes, please do support us. I think I had a couple of chats here that I got to catch up on. It's funny because always after a time on Odyssey, it just kind of drops me off. And I can't see the latest chats. Let me see here. Can I see them on this side? Maybe I might. Let me see here. What do we have? Let me see here. We did that one. Yeah, it's having issues on Odyssey. I don't want to miss anyone here. Western Critique. I don't think we did this one, right? Now, we're under attack with all these speech bills all over the place. Our countries aren't free. Democracy is a joke. Absolutely. I concur. It's not free. And then the discussion becomes about something else, right? Yeah, Svantovit says earlier, Israeli uniform, Mexican, Ausländer raus. Yeah, that's the disco in Germany, apparently. They were some of the youths, German youths, were screaming Ausländer raus at one of the discotheques, and people were upset about that. We had Pagan Bear here, too, a while ago. Support what you like. Thanks for the stream, Henrik. Thank you, Pagan Bear. I appreciate that. Otherwise, I think we are caught up, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your support today. Please head on over to redicemembers.com. Sign up over there. Get access to some of the latest stuff that we do, of course. Well, full archives, of course, at redicemembers.com. If you want to, sign up on some of the other places, you can as well. Odyssey, we have upload all the latest member content there. Same with Subscribestar and same with our locals, redicetv.locals.com. So you can use one of those. You get instant access. But yes, there's a little bit of an activation period on redicemembers.com because we use the donor box interface right now and it's not connected on the back end. So thank you for your patience on that. But if you don't mind waiting a little bit for the activation, because we manually have to do that, that's a great way to sign up. So whatever you prefer, check out the latest Western Warrior. I cover this thing with the Swedish police sleeping with migrants, the female police, officers, female Swedish police officers, going and joining the enemy, which they're supposed to fight against. Remarkable story. We talked about Humza Yousaf being kicked out of Scotland, a couple of other things there as well. Robert Aschberg, the piece about the Swedish media personality. Robert Aschberg happens to be Jewish, by the way, about his troll hunters approach to how Sweden have been able to kind of progress so far that it has because of the public shaming, the threats of doxing, fines and legal, consequences for those that are daring to speak up against, immigration, open borders, and kind of the destruction of our country in Sweden, basically. So anyway, did a segment on that. I thought it was pretty good. So anyway, some of the stuff there for you guys, check it out in Western Warrior. And of course, again, don't miss the latest video that Lana put up. If you didn't see it yet, whites in Louisiana split off from black majority city. Short one, but a good one. So check that out. All right, guys, thank you so much again for joining us today. I also want to say thanks. Where do we get you guys? To our executive producers today. Where do we have you guys? There we go. Here we are. T. Lothrop Stoddard, V. Miller, Resin Revolt. Thank you, Resin. Good to see you. Good Luck Lap, Jake. Red Pill Rundown. We have French 47, Mark Smith, No One Jeeves. We also got President Ubunga, Mongoose, William Fox, Angry White Soccer Mom, The Second Wanderer, Operation Werewolf, The Ride Never Ends, Dilbob. We also have Last Place Simp, Joseph Hart, Purple Haze, Rex Ballington, Call Me Combo Deal, The Dearborn Toxic Event, Brendan Anthony, Penelope 7 USA, Bertrand Comparet, Dixie Drone Force, Arctic Wolf, Europe Awake. Thank you, guys. That's our executive producers. We also have Mr. Walker, 696, Johansson, Lira Dumand, Snarkpup, Eyes Open, Mr. Lemry, Urinu, Obadiah Hexwell, Perfect Brute, Single Action Army, Lord H.P. Lovecraft, Trevor, Der Schwabe, Sonata for Violin, ExposeFlyers.com, Whitewater Rafting Fan, and Jetfire. Thank you, guys. We have one more to add there as well, by the way. So if you have signed up for one of those recently, you're not yet in the rotation, please send us an email, redeyes@protonmail.com, and we'll get you in there ASAP in case you've, for some reason, fallen through the cracks. So again, join us over at redeyesmembers.com, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate your support. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We can't do this without you, so support what you like, as Pagan Bear says. We can't be here without you guys, so thank you for being here for us so we can be there for you. We'll be back tomorrow with Flashback Friday, 5 p.m., usually 5 p.m. Eastern. That's 11 p.m. Central European time. Thank you, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day or evening. Talk to you later.
Thank you for watching. Go to redeyesmembers.com and sign up for our exclusive members content. Don't miss our latest shows, interviews, and other videos only for subscribers. You can also become a member by signing up at subscribestar.com/redeyes. Get full access and help support our work. See you on the other side.